Welcome to Practice Care with Carl White, the podcast where we help practice owners in healthcare know just enough about the business side to make good business decisions and keep their practices independent. Now our host, Carl.
Chances are you have staff. And if that's the case, chances are you have had or will have soon some kind of staffing issue. And my guest today has dealt with it. And in fact, it got bad enough for him and his practice that his practice suffered a bit financially. And he's going to tell us more about that, what happened, and how he recovered. I'm Carl White, principal at Mark Advisory Group, which is a healthcare marketing agency. And I'm also the host of Practice Care. The mission for both is the same, and that's to help private practice owners stay private. Not only is that what they want, but I just really believe that care is better when it's just you and your provider and no one else is secretly whispering in the provider's ear what their agenda is. No hospital, no health system, no owners in faraway places saying, wait, you can't treat them that way. You have to do it this way because that's what we need for some unrelated reason to the patient. Want to get rid of that as much as we can. And today, my guest is Dr. Shane Stedman. He is a chiropractic neurologist and the owner of Integrated Health Systems in Denver. It's a functional medicine / functional neurology practice, and they specialize in challenging cases combining neurology, endocrinology, and immunology while trying to find the underlying cause to the patient's condition. And Shane, thanks so much for coming on Practice Care. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah. So before we get into the sort of staffing saga and, you know, the how the story turned out, just fill in for us a bit more about you, your background, Integrated Health Systems. I have to tell you, I speak to a fair number of people, not that I have my finger on the true pulse, and combining chiropractic, neurology, and endocrinology and immunology, haven't heard it before. So I'm kind of curious about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, we have a practice in, you know, in Denver. And when I first got into practice, my goal was to be a chiropractic neurologist. And my mom worked for one. So
okay.
Growing up with that, I was like, oh, this guy does some amazing things. And my mom would come home with all these amazing stories. And so I went to school to do just that. And kind of about a couple of years into practice, I was like, man, there's so much more to the brain than just the brain, you know, and you're kind of taught that the brain affects everything, but then you realize that everything affects the brain. And so from that standpoint, you know, I was like, okay, I need to go back and learn some stuff. And so I started doing seminars and more seminars and more seminars. And so then I kind of actually got hooked up with a mentor of mine who, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm going to ride your coattails and follow you. And I'm sure he was like, what?
At least you said it out loud.
I did. I was like pretty blunt about it.
Yeah.
You know, so from that point on, then I learned a lot of, you know, functional medicine. So I kind of went really deep into the functional medicine side, you know, and I learned about functional endocrinology and I also know, immunology research scientist. So I got to learn a lot of immunology. And so now my practice really combines those aspects because, you know, like if you talk about multiple sclerosis, that's an autoimmune neurological disorder. Mm. So we got to understand how does the immune system impact the brain, but how does the brain, you know, impact the immune system? Because they do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And another great example is how does the brain affect the thyroid? Well, it does. And the thyroid also affects the brain. You know, so when you start really kind of boiling things down, the two systems really are integrated. But if we, in my opinion, and I'm biased, obviously, but if we just focus on one, then we kind of miss the other one. And that's kind of what my practice has become is really understanding how the two systems work together. And then how do we find the cause of what's going on?
Yeah, it could be like a whole series of episodes because you're one of a few now, a growing number mm-hmm. of people in the integrative functional, you know, medicine world, I'll say. And it's so interesting to contrast how you all view things, which is the body is one system, one side affects the other. Why wouldn't it? To the, you know, the more Western side, which says, let's take the body systems and divide them up and have specialists for many, maybe all of them. And then look at them more in isolation. It's very interesting. It's just really, and there's a few that I've met that combine it and say, I have a Western medicine background, but I found that that was kind of not doing the job completely. So I bring in other parts of the functional side. Everybody's different because it's what they see, and that's fine. It's just very, again, that could be a whole series. I just find it really interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole series for sure. You know, and I think it's very cool. Again, I'm biased, but
yeah,
it takes a lot of work. And I think that's, you know, I think there's very few of us because it's not just, hey, I read this and I went to the seminar, but it's almost like you constantly have to study because medicine constantly evolves and there's new information that constantly comes out. So it's a lot of work, and but it keeps the practice interesting. You know, 20 years of doing this and I'm still not bored.
That's a good sign.
That's good.
Yeah. Right. So you go to a seminar with three questions, you walk out with 25, right? So that you didn't expect. And there it is. So yeah,
absolutely.
Understood. Okay. Thank you for that. So let's jump into the staffing story. So what happened? Tell us what happened. Give us the background. Yeah. Tell us.
You know, it's interesting, you know, that we're talking about this topic because, you know, in my journey of being a doc, I've also done business coaching and I've done coaching for other doctors. So I kind of have, you know, definitely a view of the business side and systems and processes as well as the clinical side. Mm-hmm. And I've always told doctors, right, your staff can make or break you, you know, in 2 seconds. And so I've always known that and I've always preached that. And in 2017, that actually happened to me. And it's like, it's funny how you're telling all these people, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then the rug is pulled right out from underneath you.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting in hindsight. It's like, oh, that was great because what I've been telling people is totally true. But now I can actually tell people this is how you get back on your feet because, I mean, staff can really make or break any practice.
Yeah. And it's the people. It's just, you know, great people can fix a lot of or hide a lot of bad things, but the best systems and things on the planet will not recover from bad people, you know?
Yep, exactly. You know, and it's interesting that you hear patients will talk about, oh, I see this doctor. He is the most arrogant, egotistic jerk, but I love his office. They are so nice. And like, why do you keep going back to them? But yeah, then you can have another practice where the doctor is like the most kind, humble, caring person in the world, and he'll be broke.
Yeah.
You know, why is that? And so that's kind of what happened in 2017 was, you know, I hired somebody and I didn't realize it. And I know my mistakes now, but I didn't realize that she wasn't doing her job as far as, you know, we're doing marketing, but if we do marketing and our marketing is effective, but our staff doesn't finalize the process or do their job, then you don't get patients. So, you know, I remember all of a sudden I'm like, we're on new patients. This is kind of bizarre. And sometimes you go through like weird, you know, periods in time, you know, it's like the stars and the moons lined up and you're like, I don't know why nobody's calling today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But this was kind of like week after week. And all of a sudden you start seeing like the schedule thin. And so by the time that I started recognizing it, it was almost already too late.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's interesting because you kind of rely sometimes on that as an owner saying like, well, how's everything going? Oh, it's going great. Okay. Yeah. It's going great. You know, well, something's weird. So like, how's everything going? Oh, it's going great. And so then you start putting almost a little too much trust. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing to have trust, but I think one of the things that this is where I screwed up, and it's interesting because I actually have a business coach and he could probably sit here and say, yeah, I told him my business coach was always big and always has been big on metrics. You know,
as you were talking, I'm like, all right, how many, you know, how's things are great. Well, you know, that's the assessment. What's the data? So yeah, keep going.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I know this and, you know, and I have metrics for everything. But it was almost like this one piece. I didn't have metrics and I had some, but I wasn't using it correctly. I think I was trusting and relying too much.
Okay.
And I say by the time I kind of ran across it, it was about 3-4 months, not super long, but
day to day, it feels like, yeah. So yeah,
that's a lot. And so after that, I mean, the whole practice just like started crashing and burning because now you can't, you know, it's like, where's the patients? Now we're almost like starting from scratch. I got this one staff. I have to get rid of that staff, you know? So it's like, now I have to like make changes and I have to recover financially. But then you start getting to the point where you're like, oh, I can't pay this bill and I can't pay that bill. And
wow.
And I know it, but to experience firsthand how fast a practice can go downhill is super scary.
Wow.
And it's not only did it go downhill, but then the recovery process is not just, oh, we'll get things back on track and we'll be good. You know, you got a system that's going. Rent is still due. Utilities are still due. Payroll still due, you know, and it's like money's still going out. And that's where you start like falling behind. which we saw a little bit with the pandemic too. We only saw some, you know, I had some friends that went under because they just didn't have the revenue.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, some amazing clinics that I saw go under during the pandemic because their revenue or their outgoing was more than their incoming, and they just flipped them upside down within a few months.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. And so, yeah, got my butt kicked. It was humbling.
Okay. And at, in 2017, about how many years were you open and practicing at that point?
So I'm in 20 years now. So that would be
about 15 years.
Yeah. About 15 okay. years. So, I mean, I have a super successful practice. I mean, that's, yeah. you know, I mean, I lecture all over the country, you know, I'm pretty well known, mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, you, not from an ego standpoint, but just from a, I am successful. I've mm-hmm. had, you know, I, there's no shortage of like, people know who I am and I do a great job,
yeah.
but it doesn't matter how good I am, how smart I am. If your systems don't work and your staff isn't doing their job,
yeah,
it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah. So a little side note here. So you're 15 years, not a question for you, just like an observation. Don't ever get comfy, right? 15 years, you think, oh, I've gotten over the hump, whatever that hump is. I passed the startup mm-hmm. phase. I'm a mature practice now. But you know, one thing can just turn it in a bad direction. So all you owners out there listening, and I'm taking it on board myself too. You can't get comfy about certain things and just get, you know, to the point where what's happened to you could happen to somebody else. So always watch people is one of the important things, right? So always, you just can't get comfy on that. Say, well, 15 years, it'll work out. You know, I'm on easy street. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's easy to get comfortable. And then you start relying and you start trusting and you kind of let the systems that you've had in place kind of go by the wayside. And I think that's where, you know, in hindsight, you go, that's kind of where I ended up. And it wasn't intentional. You get comfy and things are great. And, you know, and then you got to have your checks and balances.
Yeah. And so I just want to clarify. So you had a marketing person, was it that this person was generating leads, but the leads were not being properly sort of converted or followed up with?
Yeah. You know, I've definitely done a lot of different marketing. And in this case, yes, we were doing a lot of, you know, lead generation. You know, we've done, you know, but we also have our patient referrals, you know, so we have patient referrals, doctor referrals, we have lead generation, we have SEO, mm-hmm. you know, and so you can have all those people and you can have the leads come in, but if you don't process them or don't convert them, then it's useless. Then you're just throwing money, you know, at a marketing program that's not really fruitful. And again, I know that too. I mean, I teach this and preach this and yell at doctors and go, the reason why you're not doing well is because your staff isn't doing a great job. And
yeah. 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 We had a former client like that too, a few years ago, where they got really excited and aggressive about a particular type of lead generation, but they never told their staff that these leads were going to come in. So we didn't know that, but as soon as we found out, because we were sort of tracking phone calls, we heard the calls and we said, oh my God, we got to intervene. And then instead they just kind of backed off. It was too bad, but the point's the same, is you got to follow the process all the way through and make sure everybody who touches it is getting prepared, you know? So they know what's coming. They know what to do.
Yep. Yeah. And you got to have those systems in place. And, you know, and also in hindsight, it's like, if a staff is not following a system that you put in place, they're probably not following the other systems either.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so that's something that I learned too, is, you know, it's just like anything. If you're doing a one, you're probably doing it right for all. And if you're cutting corners here, you're probably cutting corners there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think having those metrics comes into place with any business, and your bigger businesses have a ton of metrics. But when we get into small businesses, when you're looking at solo practices or one doctor, two staff, or whatever that is, that's when you don't see a lot of metrics. And so we don't treat our businesses like a business. Sometimes we treat it a little bit more like a hobby or a fun place to go do stuff.
And with hope. I hope. Yeah.
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 And so I think that's the big takeaway that I had for me was like, have those metrics in place and then follow up on your metrics. And it's easier to correct behavior based on data versus emotion. Mm-hmm. And again, I know all this stuff. And so it's just, I need to follow my own advice, but yeah, that was 2017. And it took about a year to kind of recover from that.
Wow. Yeah. That was my next question, is, you know, so you hit on how bad it got. How did you recover? Like, what, you know, where was there a moment where you can remember going, holy crap, I got to change something. Like, this is, it's not going to turn around on its own, or whatever that epiphany moment was. What was it?
You know, it was, I remember sitting and I was doing my notes and I'm like, why is my schedule just dead? And so that's when I started diving into it. I realized, oh, they were just, and it was not very many staff. I mean, it's just the pertinent ones. And so that was the moment I was like, I got to make changes. And so unfortunately with that, you almost have to like wipe the slate a little bit. And that's what kind of, like, as far as like staff, because I had a staff that was blatantly not bought into my vision.
Okay.
So she wasn't doing what I asked and mm-hmm. she really wasn't going to change. So you can't keep going that route. So you have to like,
yeah,
you know, get rid of that, you know, kind of poison, so to speak, or that, yeah, that toxic piece, which then now you have to hire somebody. So now I'm down a staff. And actually in this case, I ended up going down two staff and then I'm trying to hire somebody, but then also I'm trying to keep the practice going. And then when you hire somebody, you know, it's not like they just jump in and they know what to do. It takes about 6 months for a staff to really get that light bulb where they go, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But it takes about 3 months for them to start understanding systems and processes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I'm already kind of 4 months into it, you know, and then by the time you hire somebody, it's probably another, like, you know, almost 30 days. And then you got about another 3 months of trying to train them and you're, you know, now I'm involved in the training process and I'm trying to run a business and yeah. I'm trying to work on patients and be a dad and be a, you know,
yeah.
And so like 4 months now turns into almost 8 months, you know, and now you're kind of getting behind.
And you don't know it's going to be 8 or 9 months until it gets better. You're like, oh, that was 8 or 9 months. Like it feels yeah. forever. Right. I mean,
oh yeah. You have no idea. And, you know, so you're just praying that next month things get better, which they start getting better, but still your staff doesn't know the processes. So it's not like you're just all of a sudden converting, you know,
yeah.
leads, you know, you're still kind of behind the eight ball. And then what was even worse too, is they weren't returning phone calls appropriately. So I'd lost some patients in the process, you know, and that's when I knew there was a problem, is when I was getting emails saying, I've been trying to reach your office. I've been trying to get in to see you. And you're like, what is going on,
man?
And that's kind of when that's
funny, because my schedule is wide open. Like, why?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know? You're sitting there, you're like, why are you emailing me? I'm sitting here waiting for a patient to come in. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when I was like, that's when I had to like make those drastic changes, but it's not like it's fixed overnight. And that's what you hope as a business owner. But what I've seen with other docs too is it takes about a year to kind of turn a ship around. It's not a quick fix.
Yeah. And so the person that you had to let go, how long was that person with you?
You know, she was with me about 6 months.
Okay.
You know, and it was sad because when she started, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, this is awesome. And so you started thinking, okay, this is great. And then you're relying on, you know, office manager to also train that person and do things right. And, you know, of course, then she wasn't checking metrics. And, you know, so she would check in and, no, things are great. I'm feeling great. I understand. And, you know, and it's just, it was just almost like a calamity of events and a chain reaction of just bad things that.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably the aha was, why am I getting an email from a patient when I'm sitting here waiting for, like, that's that. Yeah. There's the fire alarm. So you mentioned metrics a number of times. Are there any metrics that you're measuring now that you'd be willing to share? Just, you know, some.
Yeah.
You know, advice to the practice.
You know, one of the things that we've done, but now I do, ever since then, I do a much better job at this. But we do staff meetings once a week, you know, and it's amazing to me how many offices don't do staff meetings, you know, but every Monday we actually go over the metrics for the clinic. So we go like, how did we do last week? What's our patient visits? What's our revenue? And if our revenue's down for that week, why was it down? So let's talk through that. You know, sometimes they're like, it was just one of those weeks we had this and this and the other. And, you know, we're super busy, but the revenue, maybe they're already prepaid, or maybe it was a lot of auto cases or whatever the case
sure. may
be. But we go through those metrics, and for each practitioner. So how's this practitioner's metrics? How's this practitioner's metrics? How's the staff? How's our conversions? So we look at metrics from, like, in a marketing standpoint, you know, how many people do we talk to on the phone? What's our conversions from phone to a consultation, and what's our conversions from a consultation to an exam, and from an exam to care,
yeah.
and from care to maintenance. So we have that wow. metric. So if there's a breakdown and we're sitting at, like, you know, say we're at 80%, 80%, 20%, Now we can say, well, why are we breaking down right here? Now we have a 20% conversion at that part of the pipeline.
Yeah.
And what can we do better? Sometimes it could be the doctor's fault. It could be the staff's fault. You know, maybe we're just is chaotic in the office and people are not feeling the vibe, yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so those kind of metrics we can now go through and say, okay, where do we need to improve? What was kind of the cause, right? If we're going to talk about cause when it comes to health, then we need to look at cause when it comes to business.
The health of the business. Yeah.
Yep. So now we just try to break down the cause and then we talk through that. But now that we do that once a week, it's not like we're fixing anything major. It's like tweaks, mm-hmm. you know, or it could have been like, you know, we had a staff member that was sick and one of the docs was on vacation. That's why things were a little bit off. Okay. Move on.
Yeah.
You know, or, hey, we just need to be a little bit better on the phone. Like, how can we make a little tweak? Or what are you saying that's a little bit different? Are you over explaining things sometimes the more you talk?
Yeah. Do you record phone calls?
I used to in the past. I know not so much. Sometimes I'll go up and I'll listen.
Okay.
You know, but I've done it in the past. And that's when if the metrics start showing that they're dropping, then that's when we start doing a phone call. It's like, okay, what's being said?
Yeah. You know? Okay.
Because I don't want to overanalyze too much if we're doing well.
Yeah.
And then feel like I'm micromanaging. But, you know, that's where the metrics come in. Like, then mm-hmm. it's no longer like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? If the conversions are super high, then let the process do
it. Yeah. It's exactly. It's working. Yeah. Yeah. And so if you know who the touch points are at each stage of the pipeline, and then, right. So mm-hmm. if it goes 80%, even that drops down to something drastic. All right. Who are the people, who are the players at that stage? And you can diagnose and correct right then and there. And nobody's really guessing. It's Absolutely. Really nice. It's really nice.
And I think those systems and processes are good because I think even the staff likes those because, you know, when things go really well, you know, I'll hear from the staff like, yeah, I did a great job last week. I'm like, you did an awesome job. Or, you know, this, we just crushed it. Let's all go to lunch. You know, let's order lunch. Let's high five each other. Or, hey, good job to this staff because, I mean, geez, their goal was this and they reached that. Like, God, you must've been busy. And they're like, I told you I was busy last week, you know? And so now there's like validation. Yeah. There's validation and recognition among it. So you don't always harp on the negative, but also celebrate the wins and the positives.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those metrics, then, you know, then does the staff feel like they're being acknowledged for their hard work?
Mm-hmm. And then when, you know, something goes wrong, it's like everybody's on the firing line, so to speak, when they don't really need mm-hmm. to be, you know, it's one or two or whatever, because it's a specific step and you can really zero in on that. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. So things are going, so 2017 was one hell of a year. Things have been smooth kind of since for you?
Yeah, it took about 2000, you know, probably about, geez, almost the end of 2018, I will say, just like, kind of like almost a full circle-ish. Mm-hmm. But things are going great right now. You know, we actually did really well kind of during the pandemic, you know, but I think it was ironic because we actually talked about it. You know, I, from the 2017, you know, I had to like fix the ship or right the ship. And then kind of 18, 19, I was like, I need to make sure my processes are set. Like we need to be more efficient. We need to everything has to be just not anal perfect, but everything needs to be clear. Mm-hmm. And all the expectations are there and everybody knows what's expected. And we were kind of a well-oiled machine right when the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the pandemic hit, I think that was the best thing we could have ever done, not knowing what was going to happen because we just kept our systems. We cut our overhead down. We streamlined everything. Everything was more efficient. Mm-hmm. And kind of going through the pandemic, when I watched friends actually go under, I was like, we actually like profitable. We're actually doing well. You know, we're converting. Our conversions are good. Our marketing is working. We're able to do all these things. And so, yeah, fast forward to now, we're actually doing very well. And the staff that I hired, you know, in 2017, they're all still here, you know? So they kind of weathered with me through that like hard time. And,
mm-hmm.
And it's funny because sometimes I tease them because we end at 4 o'clock and they're out of here at 4:01. And I'm like, are you sure? It's like 4:01, you're out. And they're like, yeah, everything's balanced. Everything's checked out. Everything's done.
System's working.
I'm like, oh, okay. I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. Shouldn't there be, it's like a shivery moment. Like, shouldn't there be something else?
Yeah.
But I guess there's not. But if you do it for 5 years, then you've got it. Hopefully if you're efficient, you've gotten it down. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I could ask you a lot more questions, but it's a neat story. I'm glad there's a happy ending to the story. And I imagine that when you go on the speaking circuit, is this one of the topics you talk about?
In the business, in the business circuits, I will. But most of the lecturing that I do is mostly on functional neurology and functional medicine.
So got it. Okay.
But usually in the business circuits, I'll kind of catch some of this where they're like, because everybody thinks that if you're lecturing, you must be amazing and everything's perfect. And it's not. We're all human, and I've gotten my butt kicked, and I think people actually sometimes like to hear that too. They're like, "Oh, you're not perfect." I'm like, "I'm not perfect. I screwed up, but I fixed it, and I have patients that love me and would name their firstborn after me, and I got other patients that we just butted heads the whole time. Mm-hmm. I'm human, just like everybody else.
Exactly. A couple of kind of finishing up questions for you. The first one is, now that we've talked about this episode in the practice, is there anything you think I should have asked you that's valuable to our listeners, but just didn't think to ask you?
I think you did a really good job because I think that's kind of the big takeaway is I think we need to have systems and processes. Mm-hmm. I think that's what actually makes a practice run. So when you're hiring and firing, dealing with staff, the emotion is taken out of it, and we're utilizing data to correct the ships and not emotions.
Yeah.
And so I think you did a great job as far as answering questions.
Thank you.
You're asking questions.
Thank you. And then the second question is, and I want to put in the first one, it's somebody's listening to this. You've caught their attention on systems, processes, and measuring things in the practice. What are one or two tangible places they could get started on? So as soon as they're done listening, that they could get started on. And I want to throw out the first one because I think a lot about measuring things and systems. And the term to me, at least system metrics measuring, they sound awfully large and almost paralyzingly large. Mm-hmm. And so my advice is it almost just get started. Pick something, pick any process, like, closing the books or, locking up at the end, whatever it is, and just write down the steps. And if it's, you want to get started on measuring something, pick some business aspect and just say, I'm going to start there. Pick one thing. You got to start somewhere. Don't worry about the grand plan. Just pick one or the other. And a system, a process is essentially there's step one to step end to get it done. And there's the people who are involved. And just write it down. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. And the test is if some person off the street who knew nothing about your business or your practice, but had a reasonable level of intelligence could come in, read it, and kind of get it, you've got, to me, at least you've got the right level of detail. So I wanted to hijack the question and say, just get started on something because it's critical. It's critical. So what would you say?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think... Yeah, keeping it simple is good because it can be overwhelming. And then once you get one process set, then you go on to the next process.
Yeah.
And like you said, it can be as simple as closing the books. It can be as simple as, if you collect money, who goes to the bank? Do you go to the bank on Thursday? Do you go to the bank on Tuesday? It sounds really simple, but a lot of times people don't know what's that process. And the staff doesn't know what the process is. And if the staff doesn't know, then they don't do it. Mm-hmm. I think another great way to think about it too is you can take, and this is a good like working session with your staff, but you can sit down with them and say, okay, if a patient from start to finish, what is their experience along the way? So when they call our office, what is their experience?
Yeah.
And you can grab sometimes you're a raving fan. Mm-hmm. And maybe even say, hey, can I ask you a bunch of questions and take you lunch? Like, how was it calling the office? Mm-hmm. How was it when you sat down? Did they give you a pen and a clipboard and the intake paper to fill it out? Or did they just throw a piece of paper at you and say, here, fill this out, bring it back when you're done?
Yeah.
Do they get a wow factor as they go through your process? And if there's not a wow factor in there, how can we make adjustments so that the patient experience is good? Because if the patient experience is great, they're more likely to refer others to you.
Yes. It's God. Amen. It is so true. It's something that, depending on the client engagement or the prospective client engagement, I'll bake in there to say, I need to talk to a few of your patients, need to find out how it's going, what their experience is, why they chose you, why they stay with you, but there's no better source And if you're going to do that, pick the patients you'd love to have more of. Pick the ones who are happy and ask them why it was so good. And you might want to pick a few on the other end of the spectrum too, just to see if there's any, you know, landmines hanging around. The other thing you can do, I've never been able to, never had a need to do it with a client, but I know others who have. It's just like the secret shopper thing. So send somebody in and have them go through it. And they're not a real patient, but they're going to live that experience and report back on what they found with a customer service kind of eye to it, which is really the eye you want, I think, in this case.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. Nice. Anything else to add? I mean, get started and patient experience. Any other tangible tips you would give?
You know, I don't think so, but I'll say, I think once you get those systems down, let me back up. So if you're working on systems and we're working on more like the financial aspect or looking at conversions, that's when it's good to start using like an Excel spreadsheet, you know, because you can kind of plug in the cells and then you can start looking at like month by month, quarter by quarter, or for the year, because now you can start identifying trends.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that we're kind of talking about right now is we're kind of in back to school season. So, you know, for today, a lot of kids started back to school and, you know, and the phones are kind of quieter this week because everybody's taking their kid to college, taking their kid to school, back to school shopping. You know, so I just know that's my trend.
Yes. And, seasonality, you know, sort of, call it what you want. It's similar clients. Yes. It's this month just historically slow because of a reason we identified. Totally get it.
Correct. Yeah. And I think if you have your report card, you can kind of see how those trends are. And then I think it makes it more visible. So you're no longer, you take out all the assumptions, you know?
Yes. How's it going? Fine. No, it's not. You take all that out.
Yep. So I think making it tangible, like you said, is probably good on a Excel spreadsheet. And then you can just look at the data and you can see where you're at.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Well, Shane, thank you again for taking some time out. I really appreciate it. Once again, Dr. Shane Stedman, he's with Integrated Health Systems Denver. We'll put all your contact information that you supplied to us in the show notes so that anybody wants to get a hold of you, find out where you're speaking, find out more information about you, they can do that. And just a couple of other points before we wrap up. First, if you've had an experience with the business side of your practice, like Shane did, if in his case it was staffing, which turned into systems and metrics, if you've had an experience similar to that or where you've overcome something that you think others would benefit hearing about, man, we really want you to come on Practice Care like Shane did and tell the world about it so they can benefit from your experience. In the show notes, there's a link where you can fill out a quick form just to tell us a bit about it so we can get you scheduled as soon as possible. Also, please subscribe to Practice Care on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And thanks very much. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to Practice Care with Carl White. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss another episode. You can find our guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.